ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೆ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ ತೇಜೋಸ್ತಿ ತತ್ತೇ ಪ್ರಯಚ್ಛಾಮಿ ತೇಜಸ್ವದಸ್ತು ಮೇ ಮುಖಂ ತೇಜಸ್ವಚ್ಛಿರೋ ಅಸ್ತು ಮೇ ತೇಜಸ್ವಾನ್ ವಿಶ್ವತಃ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಂಗ ತೇಜಸಾ ಸಂವಿವೃದ್ಧಿಮಾನ್ ಓಜೋಸಿ ತತ್ತೇ ಪ್ರಯಚ್ಛಾಮಿ ಓಜಸ್ವದಸ್ತು ಮೇ ಮುಖಂ ಓಜಸ್ವಚ್ಛಿರೋ ಅಸ್ತು ಮೇ ಓಜಸ್ವಾನ್ ವಿಶ್ವತಃ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಂಗ ಓಜಸಾ ಸಂವಿವೃದ್ಧಿಮಾನ್ ಪಜೋಸಿ ತತ್ತೇ ಪ್ರಯಚ್ಛಾಮಿ ಪಯಸ್ವದಸ್ತು ಮೇ ಮುಖಂ ಪಯಸ್ವಚ್ಛಿರೋ ಅಸ್ತು ಮೇ ಪಯಸ್ವಾನ್ ವಿಶ್ವತಃ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಂಗ ಪಯಸಾ ಸಂವಿವೃದ್ಧಿಮಾನ್ ಆಯುರಸಿ ತತ್ತೇ ಪ್ರಯಚ್ಛಾಮಿ ಆಯುಷ್ಮದಸ್ತು ಮೇ ಮುಖಂ ಆಯುಷ್ವಚ್ಛಿರೋ ಅಸ್ತು ಮೇ ಆಯುಷ್ಮಾನ್ ವಿಶ್ವತಃ ಪ್ರತ್ಯನ್ನ ಆಯುಷಾ ಸಂವಿವೃದ್ಧಿವಾ ಇಮಮಗ್ನ ಆಯುಷೇ ವಚ್ಚಸೆ ಕೃತೆ ಪ್ರಿಯಗುಂ ರೇತೋ ವರುಣ ಸೋಮರಾಜನ್ನ ಮಾ ದೇವಾ ಸ್ಮ ಅದಿತೇ ಶರ್ಮ ಯಚ್ಚ ವಿಶ್ವೇ ದೇವಾಚರದಷ್ಠಿರ್ಯದಾಸತ್ ಆಯುರತಿ ವಿಶ್ವಾಯುರತಿ ಸರ್ವಾಯುರತಿ ಸರ್ವಮಾಯುರತಿ ಯಥೋ ವಾತೋ ಮನೋಜವಾಹ ಯತಃ ಕ್ಷರಂತಿ ಸಿಂಧವಃ ತಾಸಾಂ ತ್ವಾ ಸರ್ವಾಸಾಗುಂ ಹೃಚ ಅಭಿಶಿಂಚಾಮಿ ವರ್ಚಸ ಸಮುದ್ರ ಇವಾಸಿ ಗಮ್ಮನಾ ಸೋಮ ಇವಾಸ್ಯದಾಭ್ಯ ಅಗ್ನಿರಿವ ವಿಶ್ವತಃ ಪ್ರತ್ಯನ್ನ ಸೂರ್ಯ ಇವ ಜ್ಯೋತಿಷ ವಿಭೂ ಅಪಾಮ್ಯೋ ದ್ರವಣೇ ರಸಃ ತವ ಭಸ್ಮಾಮುಷ್ಯಾಯನಾಯ ತೇಜಸೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮವರ್ಚಸಾಯ ಗೃಹ್ಣಾಮಿ ಅಪಾಮ್ಯ ಊರ್ಮೌರಸಃ ತಮ ಭಸ್ಮಾಮುಷ್ಯಾಯನಾಯ ಓಜಸೇ ವೀರ್ಯಾಯ ಗೃಹ್ಣಾಮಿ ಅಪಾಮ್ಯೋ ಮಧ್ಯತೋರಸಃ ತಮ ಭಸ್ಮಾಮುಷ್ಯಾಯನಾಯ ಪುಷ್ಟೈ ಪ್ರಜನನಾಯ ಗೃಹ್ಣಾಮಿ ಅಪಾಮ್ಯೋ ಯಜ್ಞಯೋರಸಃ ತಮ ಭಸ್ಮಾಮುಷ್ಯಾಯನಾಯ ಆಯುಷೇ ದೀರ್ಘಾಯುತ್ವಾಯ ಗೃಹ್ಣಾಮಿ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ
Shri Sairam, offering myself at the divine lotus feet of the most beloved Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Respected elders, my dear sisters and brothers, a loving Sai Ram to one and all present here. Several years ago, Swami was interacting with his devotees in the interview room, and one devotee asked a very interesting question, a very important question, a question which I believe stands relevant to each and every one of us even today. The devotee asked, "Swami, who gets the best possible darshan? Is it the person sitting in the first line? Is it the person who gets an interview? Who gets the best possible darshan, Swami?" Swami smiled and in his own inimitable way gave the most beautiful reply. Swami said, "Whoever is internally connected to Swami in their hearts, and when they look at Swami, they get the best possible darshan. It does not matter whether they are sitting in the first line or the last line, or whether they are 5,000 kilometers away looking at Swami's picture in their room. Whoever is internally connected to Swami gets the best possible darshan." It is to imbibe this particular ideal, to build this inner connect with all of us, to grant us the best possible darshan, that we and Swami are one and the same, and that there is no difference, that Swami started the summer course on Indian culture and spirituality in the year 1972. I would also like to narrate one more experience of mine which relates to this summer course. It was in the year 2016. Those days I had a lot of existential doubts, like, who am I really? Am I progressing spiritually or not? Swami, I felt, was not answering my questions, and during the summer course, it all boiled over. And I asked, and I was standing in front of Swami's photo in our hostel, and I poured out all my questions and doubts to Swami, and I went to sleep. That night, Swami appeared in my dream. Swami was again seated in the interview room, and Swami asked me, "Do you have any questions?" Once again, I poured out all my questions to Swami. I was expecting Swami to answer my questions. However, on the other hand, Swami did not answer the questions. Instead, He gave me the most beautiful smile and asked me, "Is that it, or do you have any more questions?" Following which, Swami deeply looked at my eyes, and there was silence and peace for the rest of my dream. When I woke up, I really could not understand the meaning of the dream. But as few days passed, I understood that Swami had in fact answered all my questions. He had showed me that the answer to not just my questions, but answers to all questions lie in silence. He showed me that true wisdom lies in silence. He showed me that true peace can be found in silence. He also showed me that silence is Swami Himself. In this day and age, when we look to Google and internet to find answers to our questions, Swami most graciously showed me that I may be able to find out answers to my questions in the internet rather than the internet. And this, I believe, is the essence of summer course. I believe that Swami has also showed me that I need not bring a paper to give a speech here by taking the sheet away from me at the beginning of this talk. Over the years in the summer course, we have been fortunate to listen to eminent speakers who have shared their wisdom and experiences to guide us on our spiritual journey. This evening, dear sisters and brothers, is no different. We have two Sai students and a faculty member who will be speaking to us today. The first student speaker for this evening is Ms. Kanchan Kumar, a student of the Anantapur campus of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Sister Kanchan Kumar hails from Lucknow. She completed her BCom honors from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur, and was also the cultural captain for the year 2016-17. She was the recipient of the individual cultural championship in the year 2018. Currently, she is in the final year of the MBA course in our university. She will be speaking to us on the topic, Bharatiya Culture. The second student speaker for this evening is Brother Suvam Gurung, studying in the final year of integrated MCA in the Mudanahalli campus. Brother Suvam hails from Darjeeling. He completed his schooling from Darjeeling and higher secondary schooling from Vignan Vidyalayam, Vishakhapatnam. He was the campus vice captain in the year 2016-17. His hobbies include playing guitar and football. He is also an active member of the arts and crafts department. The final speaker for this evening is Sri Darshan Gera, assistant professor in the Department of Mathematics and Computer Science, Brindavan campus. Darshan sir hails from Gurgaon in Haryana. Sir joined Bhagwan's institutions in the year 1998 for his BSc in Mathematics. Sir then went on to complete his MSc in Mathematics in 2003 and MTech in Computer Science in the year 2005 from the Prashanthi Nilayam campus. From the 2006 to 2011, Sir worked as an IT manager in Swami Super Speciality Hospital at Prashanthi Gram. Since November of 2011, Sir has been working as an assistant professor in the Department of Mathematics and Computer Science at Brindavan campus. Sir is a passionate teacher and has been a mentor to several students over the years. Sir was awarded the prestigious Sai Krishna Award for Teaching Excellence in the year 2016. Above all, Sir was blessed to accompany Bhagwan to Kodaikanal in the year 2003. Sir would be speaking to us on the topic Sai Vibhuti. Before the speakers, I request Brother Pratyay Das, a student of the Mudanahalli campus, currently pursuing third year of Bachelor's of Business Administration, to come forward to summarize the morning proceedings of the summer course in the Purnachandra Auditorium. I also request the speakers to come forward in the aforementioned order. Thank you and Jai Sai Ram.
సర్వభూతా దయాకరం శ్రీ సత్యసాయినాథం వందే సత్యం శివం సుందరం. ఐ ప్లేస్ మై సెల్ఫ్ అట్ దై లోటస్ ఫీట్ ప్రేయింగ్ యూ మే స్పీక్ త్రూ మీ. రివియర్డ్ స్వామి, రెస్పెక్టెడ్ ఎల్డర్స్ అండ్ మై డియర్ సిస్టర్స్ అండ్ బ్రదర్స్, అ వెరీ గుడ్ ఈవినింగ్ అండ్ అ లవింగ్ సాడమ్ టు ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ ప్రెసెంట్ ఓవర్ హియర్. టుడే ఐ హవ్ బీన్ బెస్టర్డ్ విత్ అన్ యూనిక్ ఆనర్ ఆఫ్ రికలెక్టింగ్ అండ్ రీటెలింగ్ ద వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ బిలవెడ్ స్వామి అండ్ ఎల్డర్స్, and summarize in front of you all the first day proceedings of summer course in Indian culture and spirituality of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. The first day of summer course set off with the invocatory Vedam by the students of Mudanahalli campus of our institute, which was followed by the welcome address by Sri Ruchir Desai sir, associate professor, Department of Management and Commerce, Brindavan campus. Sir focused on Swami's passion in teaching his students the richness of Indian culture and culture as way of life. Sir quoted Swami that philosophy is the butter churned out of knowledge. Welcome address was followed by inaugural address by our Honorable Vice Chancellor Sir Professor K.V.R. Verma. In his address, he stressed upon the need of right objective of education and spirituality as a medium of overall personality development. He focused on teachings of Bhagwan as a way to lead an enriched life and to use globalization to spread Indian culture. He touched upon various aspects of culture. Then we are blessed with our Swami's divine benediction to his students, where he gave importance to observance of moral behavior in daily life. He told that it is unfortunate to forget one's divine self and criticize others not taking note of one's own mistake. Swami stressed upon the cultural aspect of India and culture as removal of evil. In his benediction, he expected his students to follow ideal behavior. Then we are left to witness an insightful panel discussion on Deva Priti, Papa Bhiti and Sanghaniti. The panelists focused on different experiences of Swami and his students, which illustrated love for God, fear of sin and morality in society. The panelists came to a conclusion with 6 points, namely listening, reading, serving, goodness, namasmaran, and opening the doors of heart to call out God, by which we can develop love for God, which will follow fear of sin, and thus establishing morality in society. After that, we witnessed a spectacular musical program by the students of Department of Music of our institute titled Nam Ratan Dhan Payo, encompassing various compositions by various saints. After which, students met in different groups in their assigned locations to hold and discuss study circle on Swami's discourse on duty, devotion and discipline. In his discourse, Swami stressed upon the importance of discipline in our daily life. With this, the morning proceedings of first day of summer course came to an end. I thank Swami for this opportunity. Thank you, and Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, I offer my most humble and loving pranams at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Mother Sai. Respected elders, teachers, and my dear sisters and brothers, Sai Ram to one and all present here. Max Muller said, and I quote, "If I were to look over the whole world to find out the country most richly endowed with all the wealth, power and beauty that nature can bestow, in some parts a very paradise on earth, I should point to India. If I were asked under what sky the human mind has most fully developed some of its choicest gifts, has most deeply pondered on the greatest problems of life, and has found solutions to some of them which well deserve the attention of even those who have studied Plato and Kant, I would say India," I unquote. The canvas of India's culture is vast, with hues and vibrancy of all sorts. It has always tried to be comprehensive in order to provide all comforts to every human being, irrespective of caste, color, creed, or race. Out of the civilizations of ancient world, many have left their mark in history. The glory of Egypt, the magnificence of Babylonia are history now. Out of several sisters, India alone has been able to sustain various ravages of time, and finally it has been able to develop universality, adaptation, flexibility, which has enabled it to sustain the longevity till now. History has not been able to trace the beginning of India, and therefore it is also considered as beginningless or anadi. However, India has always existed in time, without any doubt of death or decay, and therefore it is also called Sanatan. Regardless of foreign domination, Indians have always found their true goals and canons of cultural architectonics. Indian culture is vast like ocean, and it is impossible to cover all the dimensions of it. Therefore today, I would focus majorly on the most unique aspect, that is, the interrelation between God, man and nature. The most essential characteristic feature that Indian culture has and which distinguishes it from modern scientific cultures is its understanding of man and also man's relationship with other beings in universe and with the universe as a whole. Our culture is also known as Vedic because the first or the initial or the earliest literature in which it found itself are the Vedas. Our Vedas are highly inspired texts with an oral tradition that dates back to almost 5000 BC. Our holy Vedas represent the Indian religious traditions, and their extension Upanishads represents the philosophies on which these traditions are based. The entire edifice of Bharatiya Sanskriti is based on the positive approach to God, man and nature, and the understanding of nature of man with other beings. This interconnectedness of one with everything and of everything with everything is established in the Antaryami Brahmana of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It states, and I quote, "Do you know the thread by which this world, the other world, and all the beings are held together? He who inhabits the earth but is within it, whom the earth does not know, whose body is the earth, and who controls the earth from within," I unquote. This inseparable relation between God, man and nature was realized by our great sages by intense penance and austerities. The greatest of the truths that they realized and declared is Ekam Eva Advitiyam Brahma, meaning Brahman is one without any second. However, with further austerities and penance, they declared something which no philosophy till today has ever declared. And it is Tattvamasi, that is, you are that Brahman. And finally, they concluded with Sarvam Khalvidam Brahma, that is, essentially everything on this universe is the same Brahman. Thus, these three declare and convey the basic philosophies of Indian culture. It becomes theocentric when it declares that Brahman is one only without any second. It becomes anthropocentric when it says that you are that Brahman. And finally, it becomes cosmocentric when it says that essentially everything in this universe is the same Brahman. Our Indian culture is based on these core aspects and the value system, and it elucidates the concept of dharma, which is being based on the metaphysical truth of oneness. In fact, in our Indian culture, dharma and Brahman are given the same status. In fact, it is said that the one who follows dharma follows Brahman as well. Once dharma towards the entire creation finds expression when one prays, Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, let all the worlds be happy. This similar concern is remirrored in Shukla Yajurveda in the form of Vedic hymn called Shanti Mantra. It beautifully mentions, and I say that, let there be peace in the space. Let there be peace in the sky. Let there be peace in the earth. Let there be peace in the waters. Let there be peace in the plants. Let there be peace in all the gods. Let there be peace in the Brahman. Let there be peace in everything, and let such peace be there in each one of us. In Skolimowski's terminology, it can be said that the Vedic mind was an embodiment of reverential thinking, and the ecological aspects of our culture have been existing since the time these sages practiced the yoga of empathy, that is, the feeling of oneness with nature. Our sages considered different aspects of nature as father, brother, sister, friend, and above all as divine mother. For them, Mother Earth was not just a matter. It was a living being whom they adored and loved. And this adoration is expressed in the Bhumi Sukta, and I quote, "Whatever I dig up you, O earth, may that have a quick replacement. O purifying one, may my thrust never reach your vital point, your heart." I unquote. According to Indian spiritual tradition, nature does not need to be controlled or transformed or even decorated for that matter. She needs to be accepted in her entirety as a whole. But she needs to be accepted in her entirety as a whole, and she can be loved and celebrated as she is, but must not be diminished or reduced. The Vedic seers envisioned oneness with nature, and this influenced the subsequent writings and teachings of venerable sages, where morality was not limited to human beings, but was extended to five elements and to flora and fauna as well. In this context, it is worth quoting what sage Vasishtha said to Lord Rama, and I quote, "O Rama, beings of all species are your brothers, as there is no being unconnected with you. We are like branches of the same tree, or like limbs, organs, and cells of the same body, and thus we are interconnected with each other." I unquote. The importance of nature in human life can also be understood through the role it plays in the evolution process of a human being. And it is expounded by Upanishads as, "The earth is the essence of nature. Water is the essence of earth. Vegetation is the essence of water. Human life is the essence of vegetation. Meditation is the essence of human life. And the essence of balance or harmony is the existence of human beings in totality." The significance of such interconnectedness with nature was reinforced by Ramanuja in his philosophy, wherein he mentions that chit, that is individual soul, and achit, that is prakriti, are inseparable and are organically connected to form the body of God. Owing to this interrelatedness, any impairment done to any aspect of the nature directly or indirectly affects us as well. The culture of Vedic age has percolated through different ages, like the age of Upanishads, epics, philosophical systems, smritis, Puranas, and the age of modern reforms. However, the essential Vedic spirit remains in its core dimensions despite peripheral changes in Indian culture across ages. Therefore, it can be said that though something has changed, still nothing actually has changed. I would just like to conclude on this note that it is not enough to call ourselves the inheritors of such great culture. Rather, we all must equally contribute and act, that is, play our roles in order to sustain and re-establish the core values within us so that this great culture could be carried forward for eternity. Thank you all for your very patient listening. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. I offer my humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. With all my respect and humility, a loving Sai Ram to everyone present here. My dear Sai brothers and sisters, we being in Swami's system of educare get a lot of opportunities to learn remarkable things from various aspects of this system. The remarkable things that we had not even dreamt of before submitting ourselves into this hallowed institute. Please notice that I am telling submitting and not admitting, because A Sai student from an admission point of view is very different from a Sai student from submission point of view. The ones who have submitted themselves are with no doubt more closer to Swami than the ones who have just admitted themselves. Moreover, the last date for admission may close, but there is no last date for submission. So please think, what do you want to do? Do you want to just admit yourself, or do you want to submit yourself at the divine lotus feet of Swami? And as I was telling, that we get opportunities to learn many remarkable things in this from the various aspects of the system. And prayer happens to be one of them. It is an important part of our daily schedule. Early in the morning we pray. Before every meal sessions we pray. At the beginning and end of every class, lecture or event we pray. If you want something to happen or not happen, we pray. But why? Why do we pray? There is no culture, past or present, in which prayer does not occur. People pray when they are happy and sad, during celebrations and in tragedies, at births and deaths, in plenty and in poverty. We see the urge to pray is universal. It is in our blood, because prayer is the communication with the Almighty, from whom we arose, with whom we are connected, and to whom we all shall return. So we must understand that prayer is not something that gets us what we want or desire. It is much more than that. It is the communion with God. People of all faiths, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Zoroastrian, Sikh, so on and so forth, use some form of prayer in their spiritual practice, although it might look quite different. A prayer can be a silent meditation or a full chorus of chanting. In some tradition, people sit and pray, and in some they lie prostrate, kneel, stand, or even dance. Some people pray regularly with devout faith, and some just as a last minute plea for help. Yet, despite all the different types and possibilities of prayer, one question silently exists. Does it really work? Frankly, it works sometimes, but sometimes it does not. Now you may ask me, why is it that prayer is successful at some times and not at the other times? Let me explain this with a small analogy. When we want to use a mobile phone to make a call, it must have an energy source, which is the battery, and a good network connection. Our prayer works in the same way. If our prayer does not have the energy source of love and compassion and a strong network of faith, it will be like making a call over a phone having no battery, no network, or worst still, neither of them. Our prayer must have love, compassion and faith. The quantity of prayer does not matter. It is the quality which matters the most. You pray 100 times with flickering love and compassion and faltering faith, you'll just be torturing yourself and nothing more. But if you pray sincerely with utmost intensity, you can move a mountain. Like it has been said in the Bible, Matthew 17:20, and I quote, "For truly I say, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you," I unquote. But sometimes, we get confused with our belief that everything has been planned for us. Everything is predestined. So what big difference a prayer is going to make if everything is predestined? Our Swami says, "I and you are one. I am God and so you are." And it is prayer which helps us to connect to the God. If God has the power to set our destiny, He also has the power to change it. And that God is inside us. If we pray and connect to that energy within us, we can change our destiny. So what big difference a prayer is going to make? It can make a very huge difference. It can change our destiny. But destiny and effort are very close relatives of one another. To fulfill what is destined, we must put an effort. If we say that we were destined to study over here, then there is probably an effort behind it. The effort to fill the admission form, to book the ticket and travel from home to here, to write the examinations, to face the interviews, and then with grace, we enter this holy empire. Brothers and sisters, prayer is not a rocket science. It is as natural as breathing and walking, and even simpler. It is not just what we do, it is also who we are. Now let's go to another level and see ourselves in this apparent reality and take a situation that someone very close to us, someone very dear to us is dying in the hospital bed. We pray intensely that he should be saved, but he dies. Our prayer had so much of love, compassion and faith. It has so much of intensity, but still he died. Did our prayer work in this case? Here we must understand that there is a higher order involved in this, and it is called nature, which balances everything. We cannot always walk on mountain peaks. We must also come down to valleys too. Same as in the course of our evolvement, so many diseases inflicted us and made us ill. But it is only because of this illness that over the years we developed immunity against them and survived. Dear brothers and sisters, praying should come from our heart. It is who we are. That person in the hospital died. The prayer that we offered might not have changed anything for him, but it definitely does a change in us. And if we look a little deeply, we shall see. Sometimes what we call love is not love directed towards the other person. It is the love directed towards oneself, because we are afraid of losing someone. If we confuse love with fear and loneliness, is it really love or just desire? We must have faith that whatever happens, happens for good. And if we have this faith, then there will be no expectations in the prayer and consequently no disappointments. Please think about it. Now if we see from a little different dimension, there is so much happening in and around us. We are breathing, but did we pray for it? The food inside our stomach is getting digested. Did we pray for it? The earth is rotating and revolving around the sun. Did we pray for it? Our solar system is suspended somewhere in the universe. Did we pray for it? There is so much happening in and around us, and we are receiving so much without even having to pray for anything. Our Swami is this generous and gracious. We need not pray for what we need. But still we pray for mundane things like money, good jobs, good marks. Isn't it quite silly? When our Swami is there to take care of everything, why do we ask for more? So what is there in the prayer to ask for? We can only be grateful. So let us pray to Swami only to express our gratitude for whatever that has happened in our life, is happening, and will happen outside as well as inside. Please forgive me if I made any mistakes, because I'm just a learner. Lastly, I would like to thank everybody who has been my inspiration and support. I thank my parents, friends, brothers, sisters, teachers, and most importantly, Swami for everything, and I mean everything. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
Paramam pavitram baba vibhutim Paramam vichitram lila vibhutim Paramartha isthartha moksha pradanam baba vibhutim idamam ashrayami.
I take refuge in the supremely sacred, most mysterious and wonderful vibhuti of our Lord, which bestows one with liberation and fulfills all our desires. Offering my humble pranams at the lotus feet of our dearest Swami. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, a loving Sai Ram to one and all. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, titled Vibhuti Yoga, Lord Krishna declares, Etam Vibhutim Yogam Cha Mama Yo Veti Tatvatah So Vikampena Yogena Yujyate Natra Samshayah. It means, one who is aware of the power of Supreme Lord and convinced about His divine glory, he becomes one with God through unwavering devotion. But what is this divine glory which Lord Krishna is referring to? Lord Himself goes on to explain about the 69 different divine manifestations, also called vibhutis of God. Lord says that among all the mountains of the world, Himalayan mountain represent divine glory, as they are the most scenic and beautiful. Many holy rivers like Ganges originate from Himalayas. There are various holy shrines and places of pilgrimages. Himalayans are healthy for the body, inspiring for the soul, and stimulating for the mind. So they are considered best among all the mountains to reflect upon divine glory. Like this, Lord goes on to say that among the four Vedas, He is Samaveda. Among the 11 Rudras, He is Shankara. Among the Saptarishis, He is Bhrigu. Among the worlds, He is Om, and so on. After expounding on these divine manifestations, Lord goes on to say that there is no end to His divine glory. He says that His glory is as vast as ocean and effulgent like thousands of suns which cannot be comprehended or analyzed by mortals. So, how can one describe the glory of one who is indescribable? Even the famous saint and poet Kabir Das Ji has said, Sab dharti kagaj karun, lekhani sab ban raay, saat samundar ki masi karun, hari gun likha na jaye. What it means is that even if the whole earth is used as a sheet of paper, if wood from the trees of all the forest is used to make the pen, and if all the water from seven oceans is used to make ink, then also divine glory cannot be described. So, it will be foolish on my part if I say that I am going to describe divine glory in next 20 minutes or so. Rather, what I would like to do is to reflect upon one particular facet by which divine glory gets manifested, called holy ash, also known as vibhuti or bhasma. Now, when we think of this holy ash, we immediately get reminded of Devon ke Dev Mahadev, who used to smear His body with the holy ash. It is said that Lord Shiva burned the god of desires Kama into a heap of ashes, and as a result, supreme love or prema was born. When there are no desires, our mind automatically becomes calm and we develop the feelings of pure love naturally. Our dearest Swami always emphasized on sealing of desires. Swami used to say that I have no desires except the Supreme One to make you desireless. The auspicious Vibhuti Mantra, which I chanted at the beginning, was composed by late Srimati Samantaka Mani Bhashyam, who belonged to the family of Sri Seshagiri Rao and very ardent devotee of Swami. In fact, their family was instrumental in starting the Akhand Bhajan in as early as in 1946, which later got transformed into global Akhand Bhajan. The Vibhuti Mantra signifies the glory of Vibhuti as Paramam Pavitram Baba Vibhutim. This Vibhuti is most sacred and purest object in this world. Paramam Vichitram Leela Vibhutim. This Vibhuti is most mysterious and has been performing its Leela all around the world. Paramartha Istharth Moksha Pradhanam. It provides us with moksha or liberation after our body is reduced to ashes. Baba Vibhutim Idamam Ashrayami. We all take refuge in that holy Vibhuti of our Lord. In our ancient scriptures by name Brihat Jabal Upanishad, Vibhuti is praised as Bhuti, as it endows one with prosperity. It is called Bhasma because it increases one's spiritual splendor. It is called Sharam because it is remover of danger. And it is called Raksha because it is a protection against all the evil spirits. Shirdi Baba, our Lord in his previous incarnation, used to give Udi, also called ash, from his dhuni as a boon to each and every one whoever came to him. No doubt Baba's Udi has been curing the physical and mental elements of the devotees, but the most important lesson taught by Baba's Udi is that this world is transient and temporary. This ash is the ultimate destination of everything in this world. So, when we are in this world, we should do our duty, but we should not get attached to different worldly relations. Our Lord Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, right from his childhood after the avatarhood declaration, has been materializing Vibhuti out of thin air by wave of his hand. Millions of devotees around the globe have witnessed this materialization from the holy hands, while others have been experiencing this Vibhuti manifestations on the photos and artifacts in their homes. Baba's Vibhuti acts like a talisman, healing the sick and providing protection to those who need it. Vibhuti is distributed as a prasadam among the devotees of Swami. About his Vibhuti materialization, Swami has said, and I quote, "For me, this is kind of a visiting card to convince people of my love for them and to secure their devotion in return. Since love is formless, I use materialization as a evidence of my love." I unquote. At this point, I would like to narrate an experience which happened sometime around April 1987, when Swami was in Ooty. Dr. Surendra Upadhyay, an ophthalmologist from London, a long-standing devotee and sevak of Swami, and he also had good fortune of working with Mother Teresa for 14 long years. Dr. Upadhyay, along with his medical team, conducts lot of medical camps all around the world. That year, after conducting the medical camp at Holy Shirdi, they wanted to have Swami's darshan before returning back. So they went to Ooty, and when they reached, it was late in the evening, and they found out that Swami was going to leave for Kodaikanal next morning. So next day early in the morning, they went and stood outside Swami's residence called Nandanvanam so that they can have a glimpse of the Lord. When they went there, they saw that Swami's students had already boarded the bus and Swami's car was ready to leave any time. But to their surprise, a student came running and told them that Swami is calling them inside. Swami called them for an interview, and during the interview Swami said that he was very happy with their seva activities. Suddenly, in the middle of the interview, Swami turned towards one of the pharmacists and asked, "What is the difference between sweets and medicines?" Now, this pharmacist kept wondering at this strange question and he could not give a proper answer. Then Bhagwan himself answered and said, "If there are 10 people and you have sweets enough for 5 people, then you can divide the sweets into 10 equal parts and satisfy all the 10 people. But if you have medicines for 100 patients with full dosage, you can only treat 100 patients. If there are any more patients, you will have to send them back without giving them anything." At this, Dr. Upadhyaya asked Swami, "Is it right on our part to send patients without giving anything as they come from such long distance?" Swami promptly replied, "Give them my vibhuti." Dr. Upadhyaya asked, "Swami, people do not have knowledge of the power of vibhuti. They lack faith. Will this vibhuti still work?" Swami said, "You are an eye doctor. What will you do if a patient with a kidney problem comes to you?" Doctor said, "I will refer him to a kidney doctor." Then Swami asked, "How will you do it?" Doctor said, "I will give him a reference note for a kidney doctor." At this, our divine doctor said, "The moment vibhuti is put on patient's forehead, he is referred to me, and it becomes my responsibility to take care of him." Swami said, "This vibhuti is your note to me." Yes, brothers and sisters, this is the assurance divine doctor has given to each and every one of us. The moment we put vibhuti on our forehead, we are referred to him and he takes over. It does not matter which religion we belong to, which form of the God we worship. It is said, "Ek Prabhu ke anek naam." That is, one God has many names, whether it is Rama, Krishna, Allah, Jesus, Shirdi Sai or Satya Sai. All are but the manifestations of the same divinity. And this vibhuti is a medium to connect to that divinity. How, when and whom Lord uses as an instrument is totally uncertain. We have to be just ready. At this juncture, I would like to recall a beautiful experience of another devotee by name Dr. Geeta Mohan Ram from US, who had the privilege of enjoying divine proximity right from her childhood. This incident happened sometime in the month of December during her 25th wedding anniversary. 6 months prior to this, in the month of June, Dr. Geeta visited Prashanti Nilayam and Swami blessed her with an interview. Towards the end of the interview, Swami materialized vibhuti for Dr. Geeta. But unusually, instead of asking her to eat that vibhuti, Swami picked up a paper from the window and asked Dr. Geeta to pour that vibhuti onto that paper. And then Swami himself folded that vibhuti into the paper and gave it to Dr. Geeta and said, "Take this vibhuti to America." After the interview, when Dr. Geeta returned to her room in the ashram, she kept that vibhuti safely into her purse and thought to herself, perhaps Swami had given that vibhuti for her husband, as her husband could not make it to Prashanthi Nilayam. Now after a few weeks, when she returned back to US, she opened her purse to give that vibhuti to her husband. But she could not locate that vibhuti in spite of searching all the pockets multiple number of times. Dr. Geeta felt very, very sad, as she had been careless in handling Baba's vibhuti. 6 months passed. It was her wedding anniversary day. Dr. Geeta wore an Indian traditional dress and went to a beautiful Ganesha temple in New York along with her husband. After visiting the temple, they went to attend a musical play in a theater. During the intermission, Dr. Geeta went to use washroom. And as she was returning, she saw a Hispanic lady mopping the floor. Strangely, this lady kept staring at Dr. Geeta as if she was looking for someone. Suddenly, this lady called out in broken English, "You India?" meaning, "Are you Indian?" and continued mopping the floor. After a few seconds, again she looked at Dr. Geeta and said, "You know Sai Baba?" Now, as soon as Dr. Geeta heard the word Sai Baba, she became alert and she said, "Yes, I know Sai Baba. How do you know him?" That lady said, "I do not know Sai Baba, but I want to ask you something. You got bhuti?" Dr. Geeta wondered, "What is this bhuti?" That lady said, "The white powder." Dr. Geeta asked her, "Why do you want vibhuti?" That lady said, "From last few days, my daughter is admitted in the hospital. Her both the kidneys have failed. Doctor says that she needs kidney transplant. I do not have any money. I don't have any health insurance." She said, "I am a Catholic and I have been praying to my Jesus every day. Help me, Jesus. Help my daughter, Jesus." She said, "Lord Jesus did not come." She said, "But 4 days back, a short man with curly hair in orange dress came in my dream and said, 'I know your daughter is very sick. An Indian lady will come. You ask for bhuti.'" Now, that lady asked Swami in dream, "Who are you?" Swami said, "I am Sai Baba. You asked for bhuti, the white powder, from the Indian lady." That lady said, "I did not believe the dream. When I got up in the morning, I thought it is just a hallucination. So I came to work as usual. But second day, same dream. Swami came and said, 'An Indian lady will come. You asked for bhuti.' Third day, fourth day, same dream. I did not find any Indian lady. Today I see you in traditional Indian dress. So I ask you, you got bhuti?" After hearing this, Dr. Geeta opened her purse to see if she had any vibhuti packet in her purse. As soon as she opened her purse, to her surprise, she found the same vibhuti packet which Swami had given 6 months back in the interview room in Prashanthi Nilayam and told her, "Take it to America." Dr. Geeta gave that vibhuti packet to Catholic lady and returned excitedly to the theater to tell her husband about this divine leela of Swami's vibhuti. After this incident got over, Dr. Geeta used to pray in her altar to Swami to bless this Catholic lady's daughter. And slowly, as the days passed, Dr. Geeta completely forgot about her. 6 months later, next June, Dr. Geeta visited Prashanthi Nilayam and Swami blessed her family with an interview. Now, as soon as they entered inside the interview room, Swami saw them and said in Telugu, Pillalo Bagundi, kidney transplant ledu, means child is fine, no kidney transplant required. Yes, brothers and sisters, this is the love of our omniscient, omnipotent and omnipresent Lord, who knew 6 months in advance that a Catholic lady in New York will pray to her Christ, and this Sai Christ cured that lady's daughter's kidney with his miraculous vibhuti. There are innumerable experiences of Swami's vibhuti's leela. I would like to wind up by one last personal experience of mine which happened last year. It was on the night of 22nd July when my wife got admitted for delivery in Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Science, Whitefield. The senior doctor told me that they will do their best for the normal delivery. The whole night we kept praying to our Lord for His grace and blessings. Next day, it was Sunday, and when doctor came in the morning, she said she is going to visit Prashanthi Nilayam, so another duty doctor will perform the delivery. She assured us that there is nothing to worry and delivery should be through by afternoon. But God's ways are uncertain. When she returned from Prashanthi Nilayam in the evening, to her surprise, she found that delivery was not over and baby had turned inside the womb, making it difficult for the normal delivery. Inside the operation theater, doctor prayed to the supreme physician and she herself put vibhuti into my wife's mouth and also sprinkled all over the body. And within few minutes, baby became straight inside the womb and normal delivery was successful. This is how Swami blessed us with a daughter with leela of His miraculous vibhuti. Swami has always said that He is with us, in us, above us, around us. It is up to us how we connect to Him. In a beautiful verse sung in His melodious voice, Swami proclaims, and I quote,
కొల్లనుకు కల్లువే సింగారము ఆకాశమునుకు చంద్రుడే సింగారము సముద్రమునుకు అల్లలే సింగారము స్వామి భక్తులకు విభూతియే సింగారము.
ఇట్ మీన్స్ లైక్ లోటస్ ఈజ్ ఆర్నమెంట్ ఫర్ ద లేక్, లైక్ మూన్ ఈజ్ ఆర్నమెంట్ ఫర్ ద స్కై, లైక్ వేవ్స్ డెకొరేట్ ద ఓషన్, ఇన్ ద సేమ్ వే for devotees of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, vibhuti is true ornament. A simple takeaway for life can be that we always put vibhuti on our forehead, and wherever we go, we always carry a packet of vibhuti with us, because we don't know when, how and who may need His divine vibhuti. Let us always remember that Lord uses His vibhuti only as a visiting card. Let these miracles of His spur us with great service and love. Let us always be happy and bring happiness to people around us. Now, I would like to request each one of you to chant that auspicious vibhuti mantra and contemplate on the glory of His divine vibhuti.
Namaskarami Paramam.
In the end, I would like to pay my gratitude to our dearest Swami for giving me an opportunity to dwell upon the Mahima of His Divine Vibhuti. Thanking you all for patience listening. Jai Sai Ram.
Vigneshwaram bhajore manasa vidhaharam bhajore
Vigneshwaram bhajore manasa vidhaharam bhajore
Vigneshwaram bhajore manasa vidhaharam bhajore
Vigneshwaram bhajore manasa vigneharam bhajore
Bhajore.
Jagadodharini Maa. Jagadodharini Maa, Dadurga, Jagadodharini Maa.
Hari Madhava, Hari Madhava,
Sai Madhava, Sai Keshava, Sri Hari Na Bolo.
Sadgurudeva. Shanti, Shanti hi. Samasta lokah sukhino bhavantu. Samasta lokah sukhino bhavantu. Samasta lokah sukhino bhavantu. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Jai Bolo Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba Ji Ki Jai.